I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
All right, good day wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asks for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
Welcome to Raven Stars Witching Hour. I'm your host and head witch, Miss Solaris Blue Ribbon, at the helm this evening. I want to give a shout out to everybody here at Revolution Radio, staff, producers, listeners, chat room, and thank you everybody for tuning in tonight. We are 100% listener supported, so if you like what you're hearing, click the donate button. We appreciate, actually I have to go to Patreon, if I'm not mistaken, and hit the donate button over there. We appreciate your support, though, and thank you for any contribution you can make to this excellent station here at revolution.radio, and all kinds of good things happening, I hope, but I'm back from the dead and the illusion of. And my new book, Alien Intelligence, is available on Amazon and Kindle, so pick up your copy today if you've not already. I want to say thank you very much to Mr. Rowe and John Wayne, who joined him last week on October 31st while I was out and about. Thank you very, very much. Outstanding, as always, and two fantastic hosts. Make sure you tune into their shows as well. And I hope everybody's doing okay out there. So tonight we're going to switch gears. You know, it's been pretty intense for everybody, and I have a lovely guest for you all this evening. I have Cherie Arellano. And Cherie Arellano is a truth seeker, healer, light warrior, ascension advocate, and a protector of Mother Earth. She is also a mother, wife, and graphic designer. After 15 years working as the creative director at Conscious Creative, a San Francisco-based full-service creative energy agency, she founded She felt a calling to serve as a healer and to help people awaken to their inner truths and best selves. For the past 5 years, she's studied ascension meditation, energy fields, innate wisdom, healing with essential oils, and energy healing modalities such as Reiki, the emotion code, quantum psionics, and mostly recently, you have to excuse me here, I've got something in my way. Mostly recently, the crystalline healing light. She's a certified quantum psionics practitioner and has been helping people clear out old wounds, expired soul contracts, limiting belief systems, and offers DNA reprogramming, frequency upgrades, and energetic house clearings. In 2018, she launched a new business called Divine Light Quantum Healing, where she offers her energy healing and her divinely guided essential oil blend elixirs to assist her clients with emotional healing. In 2017, she kicked off the Ascension Sessions, and that's a series of interviews with spiritual leaders sharing their wisdom on the topic of ascension and consciousness, which can be seen on YouTube. And I had the honor to meet her out there at the UFO conference in San Francisco. She has fantastic oils. And please welcome Sherry to the show this evening. Good evening.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on your show, Solaris. Oh, it's an honor to be here.
It's a pleasure and an honor for you to to be on my show. And I want to say your website is sherryariano.com. I want to make sure I pointed that up to everybody. We'll put your links in the chat room right there. But yes, welcome. Really nice to have you on board tonight, and definitely needed at this point in the continuum, shall we say. So tell everybody how you've been. What's
been up? Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, we met back in February. It feels like so long ago, but it's still 2020, but the world has certainly changed since February.
Yeah, it's like we got into a TARDIS of some kind and went to a wormhole, right?
Right. Went into a black hole.
What's really strange is that we were in such a nice high orbit in consciousness and what we were doing, technologically speaking, or even spiritually, and then all this stuff happens and it puts everybody in a reverse. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what your take is. What exactly were you picking up on? What's been going on with you energetically?
Well, it does feel like what you said, a reverse. It feels like backwards world sometimes. And I feel like time is different. Also, the way we perceive time and the way time feels. I think because of COVID and the lockdown and the quarantine, you know, and a lot of people are either staying at home or maybe their day in and day out activities seem rote, you know, kind of like Groundhog Day. So like time just kind of blends together, and sometimes it feels really sped up and sometimes it feels really drawn out. So I do think that the way time is being perceived has shifted most certainly. And energetically, you know, there's a lot of highs and lows on the planet right now, given the very controversial election that we're going through. Energetically, we're being very polarized on the planet. And, you know, there's a bunch of people who are really happy and there's a bunch of people who are not really happy right now. So it's been a trying time. I'm emotionally as well. And, you know, we all kind of been like holding our breath for the past 4 days or whatever, waiting to see what happens. Mm-hmm. So not to put it all on the election, because I definitely don't want to talk politics.
No. I'm so burned out. I'm really, yeah. No, I'm looking for my ship to get off planet right now. I'm just about had it. But yeah, no, I want to switch gears for sure. But yeah, it does affect everybody on so many different levels, especially energetically speaking. And even the mass collective and the hive collective, I've noticed the frequency to those who have been really happy and celebrating. You can feel the shift. You can tell that that's been lifted to some degree. But then it goes back and forth. It's like ebb and flow. And, you know, it's like a little kid who has a tantrum. It's good one moment and then all of a sudden it flips. So, and anyways, very, very interesting stuff. Excuse me. I want to ask you about the quantum psionics. Can you explain that to your audience?
Yes, I will give it a try. Quantum psionics is basically a healing modality that works with your energy, your higher I am presence. And, you know, quantum means non-local, right? And psionics is the power of the mind and the power of intention. So it's really about focusing our energies when we work together, you as a patient and me as a recipient, a healer, or you as the recipient and me as the healer, we work together energetically to heal or call in or remove, depending on what we're doing and what we're working on, what our intentions are, we're working energetically through the thought process and intention mostly, to heal and remove wounds, to call in more peace, love, and light, whatever it is the person wants to work on. So that's a really simplified answer of it. We work with all kinds of different etheric frequencies. So we can call in crystal energy or the 24 divine healing rays or Archangel Michael's, you know, healing energy. We work with a lot of different tools as we're going through a healing session.
Very nice. And is this electronic equipment? Is it technology or just through your consciousness and energy field?
That's a good question. It's not electronic. It's just through our consciousness. I do have a board that looks like a very high frequency sacred geometry board. And on it, there are different portals to the 7th, 9th, and 12th dimensions. And I also use a pendulum. So as we go through the work and we decide what we want to work on or call in, different tools will come up through the pendulum. And then we send the healing frequency through these portals, depending on how your higher self is guided, which dimension or density the work needs to happen on. Sometimes we'll go forward in time. Sometimes we go back in time. Sometimes we work on a different density or dimension, depending on what's needed.
Very good. And I had the honor to meet you out in California, and I wished I'd had a session with you. I didn't get time to do that, but hopefully we'll connect. And I love the work you're doing. So this is very, very exciting to have you on tonight and discuss this.
I want to ask you.
It's just wonderful. I want to ask you about the emotion code. Is what is that all about?
Yeah, so the emotion code is something that I studied early on. It's very similar where you're using a pendulum, but there's not a board per se or specific tools. You go through this series of questions and you kind of ask these yes and no questions. And then the pendulum kind of guides you through this series of questions. And then you can ask really specific things about an emotion that's blocking your energy field. So we have seven main energy centers in our body, right? First of all, everything is energy. We're all made up of energy. And these seven energy centers kind of do different things. They're like different, you know, brain centers or computer centers, if you will, in the body. And so sometimes they get blocked and the energy's not flowing in the most divine way where you're in your highest and best self. So when you have a block, you can ask, you know, where is this block? What caused it? How old was I? You know, there's like a bunch of questions you can go through. And then with the emotion code, you can clear it as well. Sometimes using magnets, sometimes using crystals. It just depends. And it's all divinely guided.
Very nice. Then how did you get involved in all this? When did it start?
So I've always been on a conscious path. I would say probably since 2001, actually before that. In the early 90s, mid-90s, that was kind of when I started my yoga journey. And then in 2001, I went to India for 4 months and went to the Mahakumbh Mela, which is like the biggest spiritual festival in the world, and sat with gurus and sadhus and, you know, talked about spirituality and stuff like that. And then when I came back, I felt really inspired to use my gifts for the greater good. And at the time, I had just come out of graphic design school and photography. And so I started Conscious Creative, which is a green eco design agency. Nice. And I did that. Yeah, so that was great. We were the first green certified agency in San Francisco. And after doing that for 15 years, I felt a higher calling, you know, and it was interesting because I never really went after like spiritual clients, but we always focused on socially conscious organizations, nonprofits, and green businesses. And then in 2012, I felt a higher calling, and I knew someone who was kind of like a spiritual teacher and mentor. She was a good friend of mine, and she said, well, you know, I'm starting these courses. Why don't you come online and you know, start your spiritual path? Because I just felt this pulling or this calling, like, okay, I've been there, done that. Now I need to do something else. I felt this calling to help people on a grander scale. And I wasn't sure if it was healing or helping people find their path or just helping people wake up or, you know, finding out more truths to the world. And so I went down this rabbit hole, if you will, and started opening up to a lot of alternate realities that you could say are not mainstream. You know, even the topics of extraterrestrials and life on other planets and higher dimensional beings and multidimensional beings. So all of this was kind of like flooding in really quickly into my reality field. And I, that's when I started studying meditation, how to control my energy centers, how to run my energy, you know, how to sit and meditate for 40, 50 minutes, an hour, 2 hours at a time. And I kind of went through her mystery school for about 2 years and then came out of that and started learning the other modalities, like the emotion code and quantum psionics, and more recently, the crystalline healing light, which is similar but different. So, nice. Yeah, so I would say like the spiritual path was more like from 2012 on. So 8 years, I guess.
Wow. So things are moving quite fast for you.
Yeah, and essential oils, you know, I've loved essential oils my whole life. I dabbled with them back in the early 90s and then kind of didn't pick them up again until about 5 years ago. And I just used them for myself and my family for healing, you know, colds, helping us sleep, you know, anxiety, things like that. And then when I went on the spiritual path, I got this download to start making my own blends. So I merged, you know, my love for healing with crystals and my love for healing with oils. And I started making these elixirs that have crystals in the bottles. So they're my own blends. They're all divinely guided. I used a pendulum to come up with the formulations. And I did about 6 months of research and development, tested them on all my friends and family. And I was like, hey, awesome. Does this smell good? You know, does it help you feel better? And I had a lot of positive feedback. So then I started, you know, taking it a little more seriously and started to put them out into the world for people to use as healing. They're all for emotional healing, chakra balancing, and physical healing as well.
Yeah, they're perfect. They worked for me. I love them. I still have quite a bit left in there. I'll have to get a refill on those.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, I encourage everybody to purchase them. I swear, I love them. Excuse me, I was honing in on your table when you're right across from mine. So
I know, that was great. Awesome.
It was
yeah, really I just started a refill program now too, so I can just send you the oils that you need, and you can just, you know, keep your bottle and just load them up right in the same bottle.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Very good. Yeah, those really, really work. They do make a difference. And also the where you put them too, I think you mentioned on the top of the head and just certain areas on the body, which really accentuate the vibration. At least it seems like it does.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, I have a whole chakra balancing line. And so sometimes when people are on a spiritual path or they're just even trying to meditate for 5 minutes a day, just to kind of recenter themselves and bring their spirit back into alignment, you know, you might need help quieting the mind, for example, or you might need help connecting to your inner wisdom and your intuition, which is mostly controlled by your third eye, right? Which is your sixth chakra, and it's in between your eyebrows. So then in that instance, you might use the blend that I have called I Am Intuitive, and you could roll it right on your forehead or the top of your crown or your throat chakra behind your ears, any of your pulse points, and that will help you go into a meditative state more easily. Mm-hmm. And also tap into your own intuition.
Nice. And I love the crystals you put in there too. Those are really nice little stones you put in those.
Yeah, thank you. That one in particular has blue lapis.
Oh, sweet.
And that also, it helps you with meditation and intuition and, you know, opening up to your higher self and your connection to God, actually. So I blended the crystals, you know, I aligned the crystals with the healing properties of the oils.
Very good. Yeah, it works really well, I must say. And I think that especially during this timeline, if you're a kitten, I always have to tell everybody while I'm in there, I have a kitten, you know, so he's a little bit noisy. You hear him, it's like, yeah. But anyways, he's fine. But just want to let you know. But yeah, I forgot what I was going to say. But, you know, looking at what's going on here on the timeline with everybody being stressed out, in your opinion, what is something they can do to reset so they don't get off balance or start to heal on a higher level?
Yeah. So everything is so polarizing right now. That's such a great question. To be really honest and frank, I would say my first advice would be to turn off any like news. Mainstream media or alternative media can both be really triggering. And so I would say avoid things that trigger you. So if watching the news triggers you, or you notice that like you start to feel contracted versus expansive, or irritated, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay, I got like a little beep. So I, wasn't
I know
sure.
It was weird because I noticed that it just for a second kind of went in and out, but that's okay.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah, so I would just say, you know, try to remove all the triggers in your life. And right now it happens to be like, I feel like for a lot of people, it's news and media. and then, you know, secondly, I would advise that people spend 1 minute a day meditating. If you don't have a meditation practice right now, just try to do it for 1 minute a day. A lot of people think that meditation has to look like, oh, sit down, cross-legged for 20 minutes and don't open your eyes and don't move and, you know, do some deep breathing. And it can look like that for many. But sometimes it's more helpful to do smaller, shorter little meditations more often throughout the day, because sometimes we start off great in the morning, we do a meditation, we feel great, we look out the window and the sunshine is glimmering just so, and the birds are singing and the wind is blowing and it feels like, oh, I'm in 5D and I'm going to have this great 5D day. And then, you know, you get that phone call or your kid spills their milk or whatever triggering thing happens and your vibration starts to lower. And often when we wake up in the morning, that's kind of when we're at our highest and best selves. So as you go throughout the day and different things come into your awareness, and mind you, those are things that you're attracting, but we'll come back to that later. You know, sometimes it can like lower your frequency. And that in that moment, that would be a good time to just stop for a moment, breathe, do some deep breathing, because the breath really calls in your guides, your higher self, your connection to God. It's all about the breath. Mm-hmm. So do some deep breathing, breathe down really deeply into your belly, you know, exhale through your mouth, and then inhale. And if you can just do that for 1 minute to kind of bring yourself back into center, that really helps a lot. And then, you know, work your way up to 10 minutes or 20 minutes if you can, if that's something that is helpful to you. And, you know, for different people, it looks differently. Like My husband, for example, he can't sit still. So he goes on walks or runs or rides his bike. And for him, that's his meditation, because it's his time alone when he can kind of shut down his mind and just be in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great to work out channeling that energy. And also you made a good point too, the breathing and the prana, which I've discussed also. You have to have that energetic in there, that universal life force energy, which is interesting because of these masks and everything that people are being forced to wear, which is cutting off that prana to some degree. So definitely think that has a lot to do with releasing and letting go of stress.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I don't know about you, Solaris, but when I go into a store and I have to wear a mask for more than 10 minutes, you know, it fatigues me and I start to feel a little antsy, like, oh, I can't wait to get this mask off
you're losing oxygen.
And I take like sips of, I call it sips of air, you know, I'll just like pull it down for a second and take a big deep breath because I love deep breathing. So I need that like pure oxygen all the time.
Right. Yeah. I'm thinking everybody just needs to walk around with a gas mask at this point. So you forget it. It's like, you know, it is insanity emotion. There's no doubt about that. But yeah, I agree with you. I think that it, you know, hypoxia and all kinds of other things can happen. It's definitely not healthy on any level, spiritually, body, mind, and spirit. So yeah, I can see that. And I don't care for it either. So definitely think that people should reset their systems to some degree and start zoning in on the other realms of consciousness, which is what you're working on. It sounds like the work that you're doing is right in alignment with that. And I was going to ask you about the Ascension sessions that you're working on. How did you get involved in the Ascension sessions? That was something that you were taught?
No, actually. So when I was on my, you know, journey and I was still learning a lot, I kept hearing the word ascension and I was like, well, what is this ascension? You know, there was the biblical definition and then there was kind of like the spiritual community definition. And even in there, it varied. So I really felt called to learn more about it and to share my learning with everyone. So I decided I'm going to start a YouTube channel and I asked 7 people if I could interview them. The Conscious Life Expo was coming up in February down in LA. And I think this was like January of 2017. So I emailed like 5 power hitter women in the spiritual community. And I said, hey, can I interview you on the topic of ascension? And they all said yes, even though I had no track record other than, you know, being a filmmaker and a creative director. I had no track record in the spiritual community, or I was completely unknown. And they all said yes. So I took that as a sign and hopped on a plane, went down there, interviewed Laura Eisenhower, Lori Spania, Tracy Ash, Lori McDonald, and I believe Maureen St. Germain. Maureen Germain. I'm like losing my mind right now. And it was so powerful, like everything that they shared. So we started putting these videos out on YouTube and the response was really positive. And so I've kind of kept going at my own pace for the past 3 years. And, you know, unfortunately I can't put them out like weekly or daily, like a lot of YouTubers do. But I put them out as often as I can. And I'm really selective with who I invite to the show. So it's been a great experience. It's been a wonderful journey. And I think that, you know, as the topic of ascension was coming out more and more, especially like on Gaia TV and all these other spiritual media outlets, you know, it just felt like a timely topic to shed light on.
Yeah. I have to watch Gaia now and then. They tend to skew things in a different direction. But yeah, definitely. I've written some books on ascension. That's why I asked you. So we'll have to discuss that at a later date. But definitely very, very interesting. And I love it too. And it's very, very profound when you get down to the levels of how we move from light body levels in consciousness. And I go to Merkaba. I don't know if they covered that with you or not, but it's a very extensive technology built into the body, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you go into deep meditation, you can definitely enter your own Merkaba and travel the cosmos. I've done that before and it's pretty amazing. I was able to see nebula, you know, out in outer space and stuff like that. And that was pretty exciting.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. but yeah, I mean, for me, ascension is all about going up, right? It's mm-hmm. about humanity's evolution. It's about being the next best iteration of ourselves. And I personally believe that it is happening now to all of us. The planet's going through ascension, and we're on this planet, so we're going through ascension as well. You know, and I think there are hiccups, you know, like there are moments where it feels like everything's dark and heavy, and then, you know, we kind of go back up. So I feel like it kind of ebbs and flows as a collective. And on a personal level, I think the same is true too. Like you can have a day where you feel like you're in 5D all day, and then you can have a day where, you know, you feel like you're in 3D all day, you know, just mm-hmm. depending on where you're focusing your attention. And then you can have a day where you're going back and forth between 3, 4, and 5D, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting.
Yes, it's multitasking in other dimensional fields. But yeah, mm-hmm. there's all that going on for sure. And raising consciousness is really where we're at. And in a sense, in my opinion, that's the only way out, is through higher levels of consciousness. And as a global collective, I'm assuming that people are starting to get it at this point in the continuum. At least I'm hoping. But we do have a lot of conflict going on. But through that conflict, I'm hoping that they'll be able to retune or re-identify themselves on a more spiritual level. That would be nice, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, for me too, like at first I was like, well, I'm only going to focus on the spiritual community. But now I feel like, you know, I want everyone to be talking about ascension. I want, you know, everyone to be aware of it, have their own definition of it maybe, or, you know, at least learn about it, because it's happening now. And everybody, I just feel like everybody should kind of be aware of it.
Oh, absolutely. But yeah. One way or another, they're going to shift in vibration, and that will lead to something off beyond this perimeter here. So yeah, the more they know, the better off they'll be. It's interesting though. Some people get so derailed. I mean, they're just so focused on this field of energy, but they're not looking at the bigger picture, and hopefully mm-hmm. that'll shift. But I've noticed that here. Definitely. For sure. Now, do you also do the Reiki?
I don't do Reiki. I did study Reiki one, but I didn't pursue it. I liked it, but it didn't resonate with me. Quantum psionics works much more quickly, and it's very meticulous and precise, and mm-hmm. it's very effective. It's a very powerful healing tool because it can go in and look at ancestral DNA. You know, it can go in and look at, you know, old traumas and wounds, and it works really efficiently, I should say. Mm-hmm. And Reiki felt slower to me. So mm-hmm.
yeah, I tend to agree with you on that. No, I agree.
Yeah.
And it's also the Hive Collective in a sense that you're working with the lineage of those, in my opinion, to the ancestors, to the Reiki, and all of the Hive Collective seems to have that kind of a field, where it seems a little mm-hmm. bit different. No, I agree with you 100% mm-hmm. on those. I think that the faster and the more zero-point technology-oriented healing systems are much, much more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, and it's just amazing because, like, a client will come to me and say, you know, I want to work on calling in more joy in my life, or, you know, I have this depression I need to get rid of, or whatever it is. They'll usually give me, like, 3 to 5 topics. And as I'm dowsing, you know, the tools that come up are always so spot on, and they like overlap, and they're different tools, but they're all focusing on the same issue. Mm-hmm. And it's just mind blowing because it's so perfect and it's so spot on with what we're trying to accomplish. It's really hard to put into words.
Mm-hmm. But I'm always
impressed by that, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting how that works. When you just set the intent, it seems like the universe accommodates that on
absolutely.
A lot of different levels. Yeah, I think that's the magic of the cosmic design to some degree. And isn't it interesting, too, when people start focusing on that field of energy? I mean, anything can happen. There's no limitation, mm-hmm. in a sense. And I think that's so cool on so many levels. I love the healing arts, and we certainly all need it at this point, in my opinion. Definitely need that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I love being of service to people, and, you know, when I get positive feedback, it just I feel so grateful that I can help people and be a part of their healing journey.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them, you know, it's the first time they've done quantum psionics or the crystalline healing light work. But usually the feedback I get is that they feel lighter and they feel happy and they feel amazing.
Yeah. And that's a good sign. That's how they're supposed to feel. Yep.
And then we try to get, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, don't get back into that old thing or whatever it was that you, it was pulling you down.
Right. Yep. Exactly. Now, when you're doing this kind of work, do you, I know that you had your own booth over there. You had your own table. When I met you, are you able to do any healing work at that particular area on a booth or at a booth? Or is it more someplace else?
Yes. Yes. I do events in person. And I also, so I usually sell my oils and my bracelets because I make crystal bracelets that act as diffusers for the oils. So you can put the oils on the bracelets. And then I also,
I have some.
Yes, you got a really beautiful one.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
And then I usually, if I have someone with me, I can also do healing sessions right there at the event. And, you know, typically my sessions last from 90 minutes to 2 hours. But if I'm at an event like that, I'll set the intention to keep it at about 40 minutes. Just
let's go.
Sustain that for 2 hours with one person at an event with everybody buzzing around. So,
oh, that's good. 40 minutes is a pretty good amount of time.
Yeah. If we're people to, you know, I usually ask people to, you know, pick like one to two topics that they want to really focus in that short condensed time because it's more concentrated. It's like the more topics you want to heal, it becomes a little more, not diluted, but you can spend less time on each topic, if you will.
Right. What I've noticed is there are a lot of parasitic types around. So in other words, if you're doing a session on somebody, then there's like the parasitic people that kind of hang out in close proximity to get it kind of like a, I don't want to say a kundalini hit, but you know what I'm talking about. So do you do anything insofar as extra protection or something where it kind of bumps out some of that?
Yeah, I have to kind of reground myself and recenter myself, you know, more often throughout the day if I'm in a place like that. But what I've noticed is that it's so divine that if a person approaches my table and the energy is not a good match for me, they won't do a session with me. Like they'll either change their mind or they'll kind of be repelled away energetically. And it served me because I remember at that conference where I met you at the UFO conference, there was this one guy who was like, you know, someone who was a big speaker at that event came to my booth and she got a healing session with me. And everybody saw it and it was kind of like, whoa, she's getting a healing session there. So he came over and he was like, well, if you're good enough for so-and-so, you must be good enough for me, you know? And like, just that whole approach felt so off. And he was confused and he thought I was a psychic or something. And I was like, no, I'm not a psychic. I'm a healer. And he was like, well, aren't they the same thing? And I was like, no. And then he ended up leaving and going to someone else's table who I conferred with later, and it turned out he really gave her a hard time.
I bet he stopped by my table too. I have a feeling. Yeah.
And so I was so grateful because I was like, thank God, you know, like my guides were protecting me. And,
and there's always one that shows up like that.
Right, right. There's always one.
That's interesting.
But for the most part, I've been lucky and I've had, you know, really great clients.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Spirit brings the right ones to you. There's no doubt about that one. Now, you also do the house clearings, right?
Yes. Yes. I also do house clearings. So Quantum Psionics has several different boards. There's actually 5 in total. I've been certified in 4 of them. One is used for personal healings. One is used for space clearings. and one is used for DNA reprogramming. And then another one is used for universal energy healing. So it's more for like group things. So it would be good for like when there's a mass.
Okay, you're cutting in and out, Cherie.
Or there's a lot of upheaval in society. That one is really good for that. Mm-hmm. But the space clearing one is specific to space clearings, and it is kind of like uses energy work, of course, and mixes in a little bit of feng shui as well. Yeah, so, you know, we work with dragon energies and essences. We work with crystal energy. We work with feng shui. Archangel Michael comes through a lot because he comes in and kind of like clears out all the negative energies, the lower density energies. and sometimes we'll work with numerology or plant essences that come mm-hmm. through in the healing sessions. So it's really fun work. I can do it in person, you know, in the person's home, or I can do it remotely. And if I'm there in person, I'll usually go through and like smudge their house as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. I love the dragon energies. I work with those a lot too.
Good yeah, stuff. They're so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
In my book, I have like 167 dragon essences that you know, any one of them can come up in a healing session, and they're all different. There's baby nice. Dragons and, you know, adult dragons. Like, it's pretty cool.
I love it. I didn't see your book over there. What's the name of your book?
Sorry, it's not like my book that I wrote, but it's the book that I use when I'm doing my healing.
Oh, okay.
It has all the tools in it.
Very good. Well, for a second, I thought, but have you written any books or no?
I haven't written any books yet, but you're the third person who's asked me that in about a month.
You better write then. I'm always pushing people into writing books, but that's because I think they should always document what their gnosis is about. And, you know, knowledge is yeah. power, and books are excellent. I'm a book nerd, but yeah, I would write. Document
yeah.
this. Yeah, go ahead.
I had this session with a really well-known intuitive reader, and she said, oh, your guides are telling me that you need to write a book and start taking copious notes when you're doing healing sessions, because it's going to be, your book's going to be about that. You know, and I was like, okay.
I'll just set it in motion when you're ready.
Really...
I was going to say, you're going in and out a little bit, so just double check your headset if you can and your connection to the computer.
Okay.
The audio is good. It's just that once in a while you phase in and out. That could be an energy thing. Who knows?
Yes, it could be. Okay, I'll check my audio and video setting.
Yeah, no, you're good. And we're just doing audio, so you're good on that one too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like the Archangel Michael. Everybody works with Archangel Michael. We all love him. The being, I guess.
Okay, I guess it disconnected from this microphone that I wanted to use. How do I sound now?
You sound fine. Were you disconnected? Is that what it was?
Well, it switched over to like my default microphone, which
maybe that's what it was.
As this microphone,
let's hope you can just stabilize that field. You're good. It's fine, but it does happen, because I've had people before who are kind of ramped up energetically, and they do just blow up the line sometimes. So, you know, those happen.
Yeah, and sometimes when we start talking about Archangel Michael or different energies, like they'll start coming in, you know,
right. Oh, yeah, they're great. It's funny, because even people in the craft, I mean, everybody works with Archangel Michael. So I wish everybody stopped squawking about religion and this and that, because we're all pulling that energy in. So it is kind of interesting. But yeah, now when you talk about the UFO community and such, now you sound like a contactee, or are you a contactee, or do you ever go there?
I haven't really talked about that much publicly, but you can say, yes, I am a contactee.
Yeah, it seems that way. Okay.
And I'm fine talking about it. You know, I won't go into great detail, because a lot of the information that I've received is fairly recent. So I'm still mm-hmm. kind of digesting it and processing it. But, you know, I mean, I've seen ships, and I went to contact in the desert like 4 years in a row, and, you know, always saw something there, and then had my own 90-minute sighting at Mount Shasta, which I have recorded and is also on my YouTube channel. We saw a whole fleet of ships taking off the top of the mountain, started with one, which was the mothership, and then all these smaller ships followed it. And this went on for 90 minutes. So,
wow.
Yeah, that was a pretty incredible sighting.
Oh, yeah. What's the name of your YouTube channel again?
It's The Ascension Sessions.
Okay. That's okay. I'll make sure I put it
in
the chat
room. Just youtube.com/TheAscensionSessions.
Very nice. Excellent. Yeah, check that out. Well, Mount Shasta is a hot spot for that kind of activity. I know that much. At least that's what I've heard. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's kind of hard to go up there at night and go skywatch and not see something.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. I was out there just one time a long, long time ago, but I was so inducted into a different program of technology, I didn't even recognize any energies out there. I was in another world. So right there at the nose of that whole area. So very, very interesting. But yeah, I'd like to see your video. It sounds fabulous.
Yeah, it's only like 3 minutes long, or maybe it's less than that, maybe a minute and a half, something. I can't remember, but it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Did you ever get missing time with anything like that?
I can't recall having any missing time episodes. However, I do have a lot of memory loss.
Mm, that's interesting.
Yeah, from my childhood.
Oh, you do? Wow. Mm-hmm. Have you ever done any hypnotherapy, or do you do hypnotherapy yourself or no?
I don't. Okay. I've had a QHHT session done. You know that what that is? Quantum healing,
beta
hypnotherapy technique.
Oh, okay. Right.
And so it is hypnotherapy. And I'm just kind of starting on that journey right now.
Nice. It's very, very interesting for anybody. I mean, if they have something like that going on, to dive in their little subconscious and see what's going on in there.
Yeah, my first session was really interesting because I recalled a past life as a mer person, probably in Atlantis. And I was like a warrior queen leader of this community.
So you mean mer as a mermaid, right?
Right.
Oh, how interesting.
And I saw myself so vividly. I look completely different than I look now. You know, I was like tall, thin, blonde hair, really long hair. And wow. I was really powerful. I was like the top warrior of the whole clan. And cool. When I walked into the room or the cave, you know, all the like crabs would scatter and everybody would like scatter because they were afraid of me. It was really crazy.
That's wild. Oh, goodness. Did you ever keep a logbook of all that? Your experience? Well, you obviously remember it, so you don't really need to, I guess.
I have the whole session recorded. So.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very interesting. So in my opinion, or in your opinion, actually, how would you go about insofar as detoxifying somebody? Say people want to detox or decompress. What, in your opinion, is the first thing they should look at? I know we were talking about oxygen and universal life force energy, exercise, meditation. Is there something they can do along with a diet that you can suggest?
So you're talking physical detoxification?
Yeah.
Not mm-hmm. just energetic? Okay.
Well, actually both, if you can cover both if you like.
Okay. So for physical, I would, it's funny cause I just finished a detox. The main thing that I like to do, it's like a 5-day detox, and you kind of do, fresh juices that you would use a juicer at home, you know, not anything store-bought in a bottle, and, you know, try to lean more towards the greens and the carrots and the celeries and less fruit. But you could throw in an apple or a pear just to give it a little sweetener. But I do like a ton of water, at least 3 juices a day, and maybe a salad in the middle of the day. And then so that's the first day. And then the second, third, and fourth day, all liquid. So, and then the fifth day, coming off the detox, you could throw a salad in there again. But again, like no store-bought dressings, just maybe lemon juice or vinegar and oil or Bragg's liquid aminos or something like that.
That's pretty good.
And, you know, keep juicing. You could use a lot of ginger to bring heat in the body because you might start to feel cold depending on what time of the year it is. And, you know, I can provide recipes for anyone who's interested in this because I've been doing this juice cleanse since the mid-90s off and on. I try to do it like at least once a year. And twice a year would be great if you're able to do that. And it's a great way to detox, you know. And if you can get off coffee for those 5 days, if you're a coffee drinker, certainly no alcohol, you know, just try to really keep it pure. Lots of water with lemon and the juices.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. And then, you know, try to sit in the sun for at least 10 minutes a day. If you can, because the sun has a lot of healing energy and a lot of purification. And I would also incorporate some deep breathing while you're sitting in the sun. And if you can't get in the sun, then definitely do the deep breathing, you know, indoors.
Right.
And also, while you're doing that, I would recommend hot baths with Epsom salts, because that helps to draw out the toxins out of the skin. And there are certain essential oils you could even throw into the bath. Lavender, I think cedar wood oil is a good one. Eucalyptus, there's different ones depending on what you're trying to accomplish. So those would all be great.
Yeah, those are great.
And especially in the bath, right?
It's awesome. And lavender too, that's fabulous. I love those too.
Yeah. Totally relaxing.
Yeah, that'll shift your energy.
Absolutely. And then, you know, energetically detoxing, I would say anything that provides a lot of radiation around your energy field, like computers, cell phones, tablets, you know, if you could possibly use them less or, you know, only use them when needed for that 5 days, that would help your energetic field. And certainly avoid any like toxic relationships that you have, you know, whether it's like a coworker or an ex boyfriend or girlfriend, or, you know, the neighbor down the street who's always giving you the evil eye, whatever. Just avoid anything that could trigger you or bring your frequency down. And then also TV. So, you know, when I was going down the rabbit hole, I used to watch some TV shows that were paranormal because I was really interested in paranormal activity. But I noticed that I would get so scared that at night I would be scared and my frequency was like going down. You know, and then I had clients come to me for space clearings and they were like, oh my God, my kid can't sleep at night and you know, there's noises in the closet or whatever. And I was like, well, you know, what are you guys watching at night? And it turns out they're really into like horror movies.
That's so true.
And scary TV shows, you know, and when I had that period of time where I was watching the more paranormal shows, I had things happen in my house and I called my teacher and I was like, what the heck's going on? You know, I had one of those like watering things that you shove in a plant. It's like a ball and a stick and you put water in it and you shove it in the pot. I had one clear fly across the room, like 4 feet came out of the plant, out of the pot. And there was no one in the house, you know. And my teacher says, well, Cherie, you know, everything is energy. That energy that you were watching on TV is still alive. Just because it was recorded a year ago doesn't mean that that energy is not alive anymore.
That's a good point.
And you're, by putting your attention on it, you're attracting it into your awareness, into your field. So you're kind of like inviting it in, right? Through the TV.
I agree. Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, that makes so much sense. And from that moment on, I stopped watching all those shows.
I think that's wise on a lot of different levels. Also reading books too, that certain books, if you read, they have a real dark signature to them. You have to be really careful, yes, energetically speaking. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's like the those haunted books, you know, a lot of those.
Right. Like Stephen King.
Yeah.
Like weird thrillers and, mm-hmm, and, you know, serial killers and all that stuff.
Yeah, you just bring that energetic right in. Yeah.
Absolutely. Like everything is energy. You know, we have been trained to think like, oh, it's just a movie. Oh, it's just a book, or, oh, it's just a story that happened over there. But, you know, what is a story? It's thoughts, it's words, it's emotions. And that's what we all are. We're all thoughts, words, and emotions. Like we're always thinking, we're always talking, we're always feeling, you know? So you're just attracting it into your space. And the everything is energy. So like that stuff doesn't just not go anywhere. It has to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
If you believe that, you know, what you focus on grows, right? Like whatever you put your attention on grows. So if you're going to constantly focus on, you know, the Ouija board, for example, you know, you're going to start manifesting energies coming through that device or that tool because you're putting so much energy into it and that you're attracting something to come back towards you.
Mm-hmm.
So
I agree.
So I just stopped watching all of that stuff. And that was like a huge lesson for me because, you know, you kind of believe like, oh, that's over there. That can't hurt me because it's just a story. And granted, I didn't get hurt, but, you know, I could feel my emotions shift, my energy frequencies shift, you know, and I didn't know or realize what I was inviting into my home. So, mm-hmm,
exactly. Hang on for a second here. Looks like we're heading for a quick break. Everybody, you're listening to Raven Stars Witching Hour. I'm your host, Solaris Blue Raven. Our wonderful guest tonight is Cherie Arellano. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Revolution Radio.
You don't see it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat asses, eating and drinking themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out. Not me. Get it done.
Revolution Radio, where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The perfect triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the perfect triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back, everybody, to Raven Star Switching Hour. I'm your host, Solaris Blue Raven. My wonderful guest tonight is Cherie Arellano, such a beautiful name. Her website is CherieArellano.com. I encourage everybody to take a look and get in there. It's a beautiful website, and it's wonderful to have you on board tonight. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Yes, thank you so much, Solaris, for having me. This has been such a fun conversation.
Oh, it is, and it's so informative on so many levels. It's just nice to kind of reset energy, you know what I mean? It's just been... I didn't want to go into dark worlds. I want to keep things a little bit lighter. So this is good. And also, you know, we were talking about the power of the mind before we hit the break there, the idea behind, you know, what you're programming to view and observe is going to be digested in some form or dimensional space. And I think that's very significant, especially when people are, you know, honing in on television and watching the toxic television programming where it's just, there's residual energies in the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I wanted to bring up denial consciousness because I feel like as a collective, there's a lot of that going around right now. You know, it seems like a lot of people are in denial about a lot of topics that are trying to come to the surface, and they're kind of being like denied. No, 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 that's not real. No, 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 that's not happening. You know, and these are sometimes dark subjects, but they really need light shed on them so that we can clear them and heal them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know how you feel about that, but, or if you've, you know, spoken to anyone about that recently, but I feel like it's been coming up in my conversations and consciousness a lot lately. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's all that going on. And I think that you're right. But insofar as clearing it, if people are in denial, how do you go about clearing that? Is that something that you can do without them even understanding or letting go?
Well, the short answer is no, because I feel like the person has to be willing. They have to set the intention that they would want to clear something like that. You know, but there are a lot of darker agendas that are like coming up in certain communities, you know, kind of like conspiracy theory or whatever you want to call it. I don't like using that word because often that's the truth. but there are topics that are difficult to talk about. And so I feel like they kind of just get denied, you mm-hmm. know, and they need to be discussed more openly. But it's very painful sometimes. So I understand that it's going to take time.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like I said, I don't know how much time in the illusion of people really have to get it together. So hopefully if they're on the fast track, they're already beyond this. But I agree, there's a huge mass collective to some degree that really doesn't process a lot of the information on the multi-layers. And that can be kind of a stopping point for them on their evolution, or at least temporarily kind of puts a little bit of a cooling up of energy.
Yeah, and, you know, sadly, I feel like a lot of it has to do with programming. You know, we've all been programmed since we were little, and, you know, to use the term like exiting the matrix, I feel like a lot of people in this community are exiting the matrix right now. And a lot of people are waking up to their higher truths, and they're waking up to their sacred paths, and they're waking up to, you know, other realities and saying, wait a minute, maybe that didn't really happen, or maybe that's not true. Or, you know, why do I believe this narrative? Why am I so attached to this narrative? You know, and they're starting to question, which is perfect. It's part of the ascension. It's where we need to be. We need to be questioning the information that is being sent to us. And we're being bombarded, whether it's coming in on Facebook or Twitter or the TV or, you know, now on Hulu, even there's, you know, commercials, like even on the alternative TV stations, you know. And I just felt like I went off Facebook for like 2 months and I went back on. And now they have a news tab. I was like, what? Facebook is the news outlet?
Oh, that's ridiculous. I don't like
what's
Facebook.
Happening?
I'm really done with it.
I know, me too.
I'm going to keep my author page, but I'm thinking I'm just bailing. You know, I've just about had enough of the platform. Although I have a lot of people, you know, I really like that are friends of mine on there as well. And they can find out where I am, but. Yeah, I agree with you. That's just craziness. And that's another toxicity. That's another one that you get in there and you just, because it's like a wormhole to nowhere. You know, people get in there and they get sucked into the void, and very, very toxic, because all you're doing is watching a stream. And if you're going to do that, you might as well work surveillance and watch cameras all day, for crying out loud. I mean, seriously, it's about the same. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, as a truth seeker myself, I feel sometimes this responsibility to share my truths with others, you know, and it gets me into trouble because not everybody is ready to hear it. And not everybody is they're just not ready, you know, or they're just in that denial consciousness, and it creates contention. And so I realized, like, wait a minute, you know, as much as I love sharing my truths and speaking my truth, it's not my responsibility to help everybody wake up.
That's right. You know, and those who are supposed to will get it. They'll just immediately digest the data correctly.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and luckily I have the Ascension Sessions, so that's a great media outlet for me to share my truth and share other people's truth. And what I love about it is that, you know, you get like 30 different opinions on what Ascension is, or 30 different experiences from all these different people all over the world. So, you know, it's not about like one person pushing one agenda. It's a collective of experiences.
Yeah, it's unique and individual onto the person and their field of energy and states of consciousness, in my opinion. You know, it's funny because when you mention some of the people that aren't ready to hear what you have to say, or even want to censor you for telling your truth, or, you know, and I think your truth is the truth in a sense that when we say it's our truth, it's really a universal truth. But I always have to ask myself, why are they even there? Then why are they in your radius? You know, what's bringing them to your energy field? Obviously, they're seeking the truth, but they don't get it. You know what I mean? So that always makes me wonder why people are constantly trying to engage with those of us who do have a gnosis of understanding, yet for some reason they just, you know, they flip if you give them the real answers. So it's very interesting.
Right. Well, isn't it called like cognitive dissonance or something?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
like they,
totally.
Like they just can't accept
meltdowns.
This other reality. I mean, the same thing happens with like brand loyalty, right? Or corporate loyalty. You know, we have friends and family members who work for these giant corporations, and they've worked there for 10, 20, 30 years, whatever. And they become so, they identify so strongly with that brand and with that corporation. Mm-hmm. Like they defend it to the hilt. But when they get laid off, you know, they're nothing to that company. They're like, see you later, bye, you know? And then, so it's like all this like identity that they've, all of this identity with the company that they've kind of pulled into their own consciousness kind of comes crashing down.
Yep. That's,
you know,
very true.
And that's, I think, yeah. And so I think people latch on to these ideals and beliefs and programs, whether it's the company they work for, or the designer labels they like to wear, or, you know, their political leanings, or whatever. You know, like we get really attached to these different brands. I'll just say brands for lack of a better word. And we have etheric cords. You know, we have cords to these things. Agreed. And they're not always in our best interest, but we've been programmed to believe that, like, they've got our back and it is in our best interest.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you. It is an entanglement pattern, you know, that's the bottom line, right? What you're describing. Yeah. So I totally understand that. And I think that's true when you give so much of your essence to something, whether it's work, like you were describing, or even a belief system. That's when you really have to pull back a little bit and analyze it from what I see as an oversoul, like a higher dimensional field, to observe and see it as a sacred witness. It's definitely, you're spot on with that.
Yeah. And even it could happen on a personal level, you know, mm-hmm. like I had a spiritual mentor who, you know, after a couple of years, I found out she was like a raging narcissist, and I didn't even realize what I was entangled in.
Wow.
And I had given away so much of my power to her, and I couldn't even see it until I got out of it. And mm-hmm. then I was like, holy cow, this was such a profound lesson for me. Like, I'm so grateful to that lesson, because A, I learned the signature, the frequency of a narcissist. Now I know what they look like energetically, and I'll never have to go through that lesson again. But also I learned what it feels like to give away your power. And I learned that I will never give away my power to another human being in my life, you know? So it was really like a profound experience. And, you know, at first you're like, oh, why did I have to go through that? It was so painful. But now I can talk about it. And, you know, I'm just so grateful to that experience, because I really learned a lot.
Right. And as long as you get something out of it. But I agree, there's a lot of parasitic attachments, and people come in all forms and designs when it comes down to engaging, whether it's through teachers or other types of people. I've worked around a lot of narcissistic units before too, and you definitely have to disconnect from that. There's no doubt about it. So yeah. And it seems like everybody's kind of learning that pattern. I've noticed that there's a great deal of people, even in connected to the mass collective. I mean, they're becoming like monkey see, monkey do, and they're taking little sound bites of other people's personas and personalities. And some of these people don't have good personalities, so you don't want that. You know, they don't want to inherit that imprint, but they're doing it.
Right. Yeah, well, I think that's the, like, because we have so much access to social media now, like everybody is putting their face out there, or putting their identity out there, or putting themselves fully out there to the public. You know, and I don't, you know, I wonder if, like, are we breeding like a new generation of narcissists, or like, what's happening? It's right. just so much, it's so much easier for them to kind of be in that spotlight right now with YouTube and Snapchat and TikTok and all these mm-hmm. things.
I agree. Well, you know, I don't know about you, but when I'm a lot older than you, but I was always focused on the consciousness of the stars and energy and, you know, training and, you know, doing things that were normal, in my opinion, as a youth, and even as I was growing up as a teenager into adult. And we didn't have access to all the stuff they have access to. So we were always interactive with the cosmos, in a sense. I mean, always having that direct line of universal energies. And people nowadays are relying on these virtual screens. You know, it's all digital. And that is the identity. You're right. That's kind of like the avatar of experience. But I don't think it's healthy when it's done on that level. It's just too much, in my opinion. But maybe they'll get over that at some point. Who knows? It's not our problem, I guess, but, you know, they should maybe try to disengage a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
A little too many boogies out there, that's for sure. Now, we talked about some of the clearings that you do, which is really cool. Have you ever had anything where you've actually had to, that really concerned you, where you were doing a clearing? I know you talked about some of the books, you know, some of the things that happened to you when you're, like, bringing stuff into your house through energy, but is there anything else that was interesting that really stood out that you've had that kind of unnerved you?
I mean, I've had to clear some pretty dark energies out of houses, but I haven't. It's never been so bad that, like, you know, I couldn't wait to get out of there, or I had to run out screaming, or, you know, I was like, hey, you need to call an exorcist.
Well,
so
good.
Luckily, it's never been that bad. But, you know, I've done sessions where People have like black magic in their DNA or in their ancestral lineage, or they've got, you know, negative entities like in their homes, or, you know, just a lot of like dark magic and manipulation on them. So I've had to clear out a lot of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. And that's what the vows and contracts are. Is that one of the methods? I know that's what I've done in the past.
I'm sorry, the beginning of your question, you cut out.
Oh, that's okay. I was asking, do you use vows and contracts associated with that?
Yes. Sometimes I will ask if they have a vow or a contract that can be broken, you know, a soul contract, something like that. And if it comes up as a yes, then we'll clear it and, you know, either rewrite it or just cancel it altogether.
That's good. I think more people should do that. It's very, very powerful.
It is, you know, and it's unfortunately, when we come back into these bodies, we come in with amnesia and we don't always remember like what we signed up for in past lives, you know, if you believe in reincarnation. So sometimes we have soul contracts or vows, promises to certain beings who often will come back into our present day lives. That we're completely unaware of. And, you know, maybe you feel indebted to somebody, or maybe, you know, you feel like you've wronged this person or they've wronged you and you can't remember any particular thing. You know, it could have happened in a past life and you could have this contract that you need to rewrite or sever because it's not serving you towards moving forward on your path in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Definitely have to let go of those layers. There's no doubt about that. I think so many people do that subliminally too, in a sense. I mean, it's besides the genetic heritage and the codes, it seems like they just do it from day to day and don't even realize it. So something that they need to look at from a different perspective.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. What about animal healing? Have you done any work with animals?
I have not. I love animals, but I have not done any training under, you know, psychic communication or healings or anything like that. Although I do have a dog and she always comes in the room when I'm doing a healing.
There you go. Well, that's confirmation.
She's like a healer herself. She's like one of those dogs who's very licky. And I'm always like, okay, I need a healing. And she'll come over and lick me for like 10 minutes.
Oh. Yeah, they're so good. Animals are wonderful. They're pure energy. No doubt. And a lot of the work that you do on a scale, you do one-on-one, but at the same time, you're able to do a collective clearing. Is that correct or no?
Yes, I can set up an intention for doing a global clearing or healing or, you know, just bringing in more harmony and light to the planet or the collective through the universal grid board, basically.
Right. That's not a bad idea right now.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe we should boogie blast it.
And sometimes I'll do... we totally need that right now. Sometimes I'll just set up a crystal grid on my altar, you know, and I'll pray for, you know, more peace, more love in the collective, more harmony. You know, and that works just as well, too. So, you know, it's really about setting the intention. You know, like we're such creators, we're such powerful manifestors. You know, I believe that we all have God inside of us. So we all have that spark, that piece of God, and we have the ability to create and destroy. And so when you set the intention to bring more healing to the world or peace or love or harmony or whatever it is you want to set, like just setting that intention and like, taking that 1 minute out to like really focus on it and light a candle or set up a crystal grid or, you know, visualize the earth inside of your hands and just giving it soothing, healing energy, like all of that visualization and intention, it's really powerful stuff and it really works.
Mm-hmm. So, well, it certainly does.
I wish we were taught that in kindergarten.
Isn't that funny? Yeah, truly. Yeah. I think children, I've always said this. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. It seems like there needs to be a school for star seeds instead of all these, you know, these entrainment camps that are literally like death camps. why don't they just put schools like Starseed schools, just create some of those and, you know, get everybody in there and teach them multidimensional things instead of this linear programming.
Absolutely. That's a dream of mine. Actually, I know someone who was going to start one.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really been trying to encourage him to do that, you know, because, you know, we could teach them how to use their psychic abilities, how to use their third eye for seeing. You know, there is a school actually in England where this woman's like blindfolding kids and then teaching them to use their third eye to read. So they're reading blindfolded.
Wow, that is cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Really, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really amazing. And so, you know, imagine if like we had a school similar to that in every city, you know, it'd be we'd have like a really amazing generation of kids.
It's like X-Men, you know, they need to channel their energy and also learn integrity and also respect. And, you know, coming from a martial arts background, I've always liked to teach that, you know, to people. They have to learn respect and courtesy, you know, to everyone. And I think that's a big deal. And that seems to be falling through the cracks right now. So that's something I would incorporate for sure. But not shutting them down, because the creative aspects of who they are, their spirit, their soul, their star bodies. I mean, we're all star bodies anyways, but I think that's such a huge deal. And I think this is the resistance we're dealing with here, is that, you know, we're kind of in opposition to some things on this timeline in a sense of the programming and everything that we've been subjected to with that social engineering we were talking about early on. So, yeah, I think you should get your friend to do that. I mean, I encourage anybody out there who's interested in getting it going too. I mean, start it. We need plenty of that going on. And also the healing. Everybody needs healing. I've always said that you can't have too many healers on the timeline or this world. So people need to be healed, body, mind, and spirit. I love holistic healing and energy healing. I swear by it, you know, on so many different levels. So
it's very, very important. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we can all do self-healing too. You know, instead of just popping a pill, I know that's way more convenient sometimes. And, you know, if you have a really bad headache, you want to just make it go away as fast as possible. But you can heal yourself and you're in command of your body, you know, like inside your body, there's a soul and that soul is the captain or the driver. And you have command over all the trillions of cells inside your body. And you can talk to those cells. And you can, you know, let them know, like, listen, I don't know what this headache's about, but I can't have a headache right now. And if you can lie down and meditate on it for 10 or 15 minutes and maybe get a crystal and hold a crystal near the headache or near your heart, and you really like set your intention, you can clear out those headaches. I've done it many times over and over on myself.
Yep.
And imagine if we were taught that in school, you know?
Right. Yeah, reprogramming the DNA is what you're describing too, is what you know, programming every cell and atom to follow through insofar as what you want the outcome to be. No, I totally resonate with that. Yeah, you're right. Wouldn't it be nice if they taught everybody how to do that? You know, I remember I was doing some hard sparring one time and I had a horrible headache. And one of the gals there was a shamanistic healer. And she just put her hands on my head and said, I'm going to take this from you. And she did. It was phenomenal.
Wow.
So once again, the power, the power and the healing, I'm telling
you,
yeah, it did.
Are you still there?
Yeah. Oh, you can't hear me.
Oh, now I can hear you.
In and out. Well, I hope you got that story, but anyways, yeah, she did. She did help and she took it out. She took the healing. I mean, it's the first, she took the pain away. So let me know if you can't hear me anymore. I don't know what's going on. Yeah.
Yeah, it beeped again, and then you came right back in.
There must be something going on. I don't know. I don't have any friendly spooks around. Who knows? Gremlins in the wires. All right. But yeah, this is a great conversation. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to add to that, you know, this whole topic that we're talking about, it really comes down to us giving away our power. And going back to the programming and the manipulation, you know, we've been programmed to give away our power at all levels, you know. So when we're sick, we go to a doctor, give away our power. We put the power in the hands of the doctor. Doctor, please heal me, you know, make this, fix it. And when, you know, for school, for education, we give away our power to the schools, to the teachers. You know, they know what's best for us. When we need legal advice, we give it away to lawyers. You know, whatever it is, like, we're always taught in this society that there's someone else who can do it better. And sometimes that's true. Like, I don't want to start being a plumber and fixing the pipes in my house. But for certain things, you know, I feel like I wish that we would be taught in school, like how to handle the basics of those topics that we could do ourselves. And then if you're in some like dire, desperate situation, then you can go to an expert, you know, to get more healing. Like if you need open heart surgery or you need, you know, some major thing. But for the most part, I wish that we were taught in school to like go within, you know, listen to your intuition, listen to your heart, check in. What is it that you really need? What is the outcome that you seek for this situation? You know, because we almost always have the answer inside. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to a psychic and they've said, well, this, and that. And it was like everything I knew already. And it was just confirmation.
Yeah, it's a sounding board. Like, yep, exactly. That's always the way, isn't it? But people need to hear that sometimes when they get really, you know, kind of derailed in their lives. They need somebody else who resonates with that and can read it and just kind of ping it back to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
That's really good. So, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I do like the idea behind the frequency healing. And also what it reminds me of is the Star Trek. You know, we are beyond Star Trek. When it comes down to our classified, beyond classified technologies, we have some phenomenal things that we can use without having surgery of the Western medicine type surgery. We can use healing modalities and frequencies just to heal the entire biomolecular structure and field. So once again, I wish they would kind of open that up to everybody on this world. I don't know if I'll see it here on this timeline, but it would be nice.
Right. Like, I'm sure you've heard there's like zero point energy devices that we could be using, you know, which also offer a lot of healing energy. Mm-hmm. They certainly help you get into that void or that zero point energy. If you're trying to meditate, just helps you get there faster, you know, but they have a lot of other uses, I guess, free energy and all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's a lot of technology that, that is been created, but is it's not accessible to the masses yet.
Right. So that censorship. And once again, most of the stuff that's been confiscated is not even theirs. I mean, insofar as these government agencies taking all these patents and such. So that's something to look at, but I'd like to see it opened up nonetheless. But we are the devices in the end, you know, we are the technology built in, which is kind of nice.
Right.
That's so true. I would say anyway. But yeah. So what's going on with you next few months? Do you have any plans? Are you going to be doing anything we need to know about?
Well, I do like to hold meditations once in a while that I do, you know, as a free service to the community. And it's usually like on Facebook or YouTube or something. And I believe I'm going to be doing one on November 11th with Viviane Chauvet, who was also at the conference.
I love her. She's awesome. Yeah. I just interviewed her on my hyperspace. Yeah, she's great.
That's right. Yeah, she mentioned that to me. So we like to do these like co-meditations once in a while, and we're going to do one on 11/11. And I don't have the details yet, but if people want to follow me on Facebook, I'll definitely be posting it there or on Instagram.
Very nice. Yeah, and they can get you by your name on Facebook. So this is Sherry Ariano.
No, it's Divine Light Quantum Healing.
Okay, good. I'm glad I asked on that one. Okay.
Yeah. I get a lot of personal like friend requests, but I always channel people over to my pages because I try to keep my private accounts just for my family and friends.
That's very smart.
Yeah, Divine Light Quantum Healing. And then on Instagram, it's cherie.divinelight, cherie.divinelight.
Excellent. And what time are you going to be doing that meditation on the 11th?
I'm going to suggest 11 a.m. Pacific time.
Okay.
But again, that hasn't been confirmed. So Viviane and I need to get together and firm that up. But she's an amazing Arcturian hybrid healer as well. And she also does a lot of events for the community. So I love working with her.
She's great. She's another one I really, really love. And I love the healing modalities. They have these beautiful necklaces. Oh, they're great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have one of those. They gifted me one at the conference.
Oh, beautiful.
It was such perfect timing because I was next to this woman who also sells jewelry, and her energy was so big. And like, there were all these, like, it was like the end of the day. And
oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, okay. I was dealing with all these big energies, and I was kind of like flustered. And Peter walks over and he's like, here, we want to give this to you. And I put that thing on, and my energy just went boom. And I was like completely like centered and grounded again after like 3 minutes. I mean, it was incredible.
They're really good.
Yeah. And I was like, thank you so much.
It's amazing what that type of technology can do when you wear those necklaces. I've been eyeballing that. I have to pick one up. They're really nice.
Yeah, you should definitely get one. Especially if you're going to be in a large crowd like that, or any place where you're, you know, in unfamiliar energy, it's a great idea to use that. I mean, I always like put on all my bracelets and I put on my protective oils anytime I go out into the public, or anytime I'm going to be in a large crowd like that.
Yeah, and those oils work really well. I used those right before I did my presentation. I wore them a lot, so I really love those, the ones you had over there.
Awesome. Which ones did you get?
I can't remember which one. I think it was for peace and relaxation or something like that. Breathing. One was for breathing, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Clear. I am relaxed. Yep.
That's the one. Yeah, they're really nice. And you might just say this is woo-woo. I swear to you all, it's not. I mean, you put this on, you really feel it energetically, and it smells so good.
And I put I am statement. They're all named with I am statements. So I also encourage people to use the I am statements as positive affirmations when you put them on. So usually I have you like shake it, smell it, say the affirmation, like, you know, I am harmony, if you're looking to feel more harmonious in that moment. And then you smell it again, and then you put it on again, and you say, I am harmony. And you do it three times, because of the power of three, like, helps it manifest in the world as your reality. It's like the butterfly effect, you know, it kind of seals the deal, if you will.
Oh, absolutely.
So make sure you're doing your affirmations, Solaris.
I do. Nudge, wink. I need to get more oils up, but I still have some. I still have some over there. And also the necklaces, like I said, you had some pretty necklaces. I didn't get those, but I did get the pretty bracelets, and those are great. But what I wore when I was out there was, I love my Russian blue quartz, and I didn't get it over there, but I gravitate towards that. So I usually wear that quite a bit when I do conferences.
Yeah, you got some really beautiful druzy, like blue, indigo blue druzy bracelets. Those are really gorgeous on you. And they just matched your whole brand and everything.
Oh, they were perfect. Those were yours, right? I got those from you.
Yes. Yes.
That's beautiful stuff. I was so busy like shopping on everybody's thing. It's like, I swear it was terrible. Don't ever go to conferences. You know, if you're just walking around, you're going to wind up just buying everything. I think I spent more money than I made in the illusion of, right? But that was fine. It was great.
That always happens at conferences.
Yeah, definitely. I know a lot of people said they had UFO experiences out there, so I didn't really get that, but I did feel a displacement in the field of energy in the hotel. So, and also Steve Colburn felt it too. Yeah.
Interesting. So did you feel it like when you were in the conference, or when you were like in your room or somewhere else?
It's interesting. When we were down at when you first walk into the hotel, and your Steve had his little place set up there, he was doing implant scans. And I just noticed that there was go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. I just said I had one with him.
Oh, you did? Did you find anything?
Yeah.
I figured. Yeah. Very good. Dun, ta-da. Welcome to my world. That's good. But yeah. And that's where actually we started feeling, it almost feels like an earthquake, but it wasn't. It was just like this, displacement in energy. You could feel these different fields connecting in and out. And at first we thought, well, logically you want to say it's probably just something connected to earthquakes, but three or four of us felt the same thing. And this was on and off. And then I went up to my fifth floor and I felt it up there. And then I heard that another guy who was on the fifth floor, who was one of the speakers, had some kind of a sighting. So I don't know. It was like kind of a strange event in a way, but a very positive one, at least for me.
Yeah. Yeah. There was definitely something going on, because you know, we only spent one night at the hotel because, you know, we kind of live close enough that we could drive home the other nights. And the one night we did spend in the hotel, I'm pretty sure something happened because, you know, I'm a very lucid dreamer. I do a lot of work in the astral realms. When I go to sleep, I'm like working all night and negotiating and doing things, I guess. And my dreams are always very vivid, you know, and I often remember them. And that night was like blackout. Like, I don't think I moved. I don't think I rolled over. It was just like a blackout. And then it was morning time, which was really strange.
Wow. What floor were you on?
And it, and both me and my husband had the same experience.
Interesting.
I want to say the fifth floor.
Okay, that's where I was. Yeah, I was on the fifth too. Yeah, it was very interesting, huh?
Yeah.
See, I had a problem with that. The only problem I had with that was that I did not like the elevator. I have a thing about elevators, and I
absolutely hated. Oh, that elevator was, yeah, it was terrible. Yeah. It was very claustrophobic.
It's like every time I had to get in there, I was like, this is like The Shining, man. I really don't want to go in this elevator. Always looking for the, like, the doors, the stairs, anything but that elevator. So
It was a claustrophobic elevator, and it was old, right?
Yeah, it was like Jurassic Park, man. Oh, it was terrible. I thought to myself, when I checked in, I looked at the elevator and I walked back over to the gal at the desk. I said, could you come up with me? I didn't want to get in this thing by myself. That's too funny. Oh, yeah. I was like, this isn't good. And then I told Lorian, I'm like, Lorian, you know, I'm on the fifth floor.
Oh, and there was something weird about it, too. Like, didn't you need to have your key in order to get off? Like, in order to
put a
number? And then, so if you forgot your key, you'd be stuck in the elevator.
It was really creepy. I hope they change that. I did tell them that, you know, you have a nice hotel, but this needs to go. Maybe they'll change it, but I doubt it. But yeah, the little things in life. But I'm not real big on elevators.
Have you heard from Lorian? Is she gonna do it again?
You know, she's been doing the virtual conferences, and I did a star. We were doing the time traveling conference that I was a guest speaker on just recently. She did on the internet, and that was okay. So I think she's going to be doing more virtual. But yeah, you should get back in touch with her. She's still doing her stuff. I think she's got her own network going now, too.
Oh, okay.
For videos. So, yeah. If you don't have her information, let me know. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, I do. I have her email address.
Yeah, it's fun. But yeah, it's funny because all of this stuff, I mean, we had the momentum to keep going with all of these conferences, and it seems like everything's been shut down and now it's all virtual, which, you know, I guess it's okay. But still, I like meeting people in person.
Me too. Me too. And my oils and bracelets do much better in person, you know, because it's such a sensory thing to experience.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad I tried those on. I'll tell you what. And I encourage everybody to check out your website and get in there. It's a really nice combination. And also the jewelry, because you hone in on it through your eyes and energy. I mean, you see these shiny, I like shiny objects anyway, but you see these sparkly. It's like, you know, all of a sudden it feels good when you wear it, and just works. So that's my plug.
Awesome. Thank you. That was a beautiful plug.
Oh, good.
I appreciate you.
Well, I mean it. No, I appreciate you too. I'm so glad you're here tonight. Like I said, it's just nice because your vibration's so light and energetic, and it's nice to have that here because we've been dealing with a lot. So, you know, with you guys doing that meditation on 11/11, I'm not sure what the focus would be. Would it be more global, do you think, or do you have an idea what you're going to be doing it about?
We haven't decided yet, but I was thinking that global collective consciousness. I was actually getting a download last night that I wanted to do a planetary healing because I haven't done that in a while, and I feel like we really need it now more than
ever. That would be good. That would cover the hive, the collective of people, or no?
Yeah, definitely. It would cover the planet and everyone on the planet. And I don't know if you're into astrology. I'm not an astrologer, but I've been hearing that 12/21, which is, you know, winter equinox, is going to be a really big shift for the planet. And I keep hearing like big things are coming down. There's going to be huge changes, like huge sweeping changes, like the whole ascension is really going to be shifting from that point forward. So what have you heard? I would love.
Well, I'm a timeline astrologer, so I work at the timelines. I look in the different fields. But yeah, I wrote a book. I think, I don't know if I gave you a copy or not, Alien Intelligence, but I do talk about the new space-time configuration. Yeah, and the 2020, which was interesting, we had all this turbulent weird, which I think is a hijacking to some degree. But between 2020 and 2022 was the big window of rate shifts on a galactic scale. So we were actually stepping up, quote unquote, into the galactic neighborhood. And then they played this card, which kind of nosedives everybody into a different field, which is more of the false matrix, but we're pulling out of it again. So yeah, you're right. Where whatever you've heard is pretty much accurate. And then where I've been, insofar as what I'm honing in on is accurate too. So yeah, big changes, big time. It's almost like we're going to be on another world. So get ready.
Yeah, that's so interesting that you said that, because I definitely felt like we all chose the wrong timeline.
We sure did. I was on the wrong timeline. I was put on the wrong timeline after the induction in 2004. And then it got really displaced this past year. I kept telling people, I'm like, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to be here. You know, it's like Jurassic Park. It's like, but now I know why. And, you know, maybe we can talk about that sometime off air. But yeah.
Yeah, I would. And I would love to have you on my show as well.
Oh, I'd love it. I'd be honored. And yeah. And I'd like to get a session from you too. So maybe we could do an exchange or something. But yeah, definitely.
Awesome.
But there's stuff going on. I mean, if people would just understand the bigger scenery, and I understand that this has been intense and everybody's freaking out about the election. I get it. But man, we've got to go higher. We've got to go to a different field to perceive it on a different energetic scale. Otherwise, I think it's just going to be too toxic. I don't know what your impression is.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember I think it was like late February or early March, you know, when the whole like coronavirus whispers were just starting to come out. And what one of my friends was like, everyone, choose timeline one, choose timeline one.
That's
and, I was like, I know, we got to choose the right timeline, because we were like right on the precipice of like nosediving or staying on course. And, you know, with the power of the media and social media, it was like we were doomed, because, you know, it just went, we just nosedived, and like the stock market crashed, you know, everything got shut down, and I could feel like energetically how heavy it was. And I was like, oh no, we chose the wrong timeline, or at least not me, but like the most of the collective chose the wrong timeline.
It felt like a magnetic field. It really did. It felt very heavy. Yeah. Also. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And it's funny because everybody was like pushed away from each other. There was never a connection. You know, this thing about separating everybody and keeping them isolated and contained in their residence, you know, I think that made a big difference too, energetically, because we always exchange through our consciousness and through the eyes we communicate, and you know, even just giving somebody a genuine hug, all these things were being removed from us, which, you know, just connects that circuitry to some degree of energy.
Right. Absolutely. I think that's the worst thing that's happened to us. And, you know, I think that part of it is also about conditioning. You know, we're being conditioned to not speak our truths. We're being conditioned to not go against the status quo, if you will. You know, like if, God forbid, you're not wearing a mask or you're not socially distancing, I don't know how it is in Colorado, but like here, people get shamed. You know, there's a lot of shaming going on, which is really sad to me, because you know, different people have different reasons for why they might not feel comfortable wearing a mask, or maybe they're asthmatic, or maybe, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. And if the other person has a mask on, they shouldn't be concerned about anybody else anyway, technically, if they even want to wear a mask, which is foolishness to begin with. But yeah, now we have, it's all that weirdness going on everywhere. Yeah,
exactly. But like the hardest part for me to watch is just the shift, like the mental shift in the collective. Right. Of what's become the new norm now, because, you know, I know people are still getting together and, you know, it's like, well, if someone's coming to your house, you have to be the one to say, like, it's okay to take your mask off or leave your mask on, you know, or whatever your stance is, like, the etiquette has shifted, right? Like, you have to be the one to kind of open that door so that they can feel safe walking through it, if you will.
Right.
And then if you see your friend who you haven't seen in a long time, you know, it's like, well, do you offer to hug them, or do you not offer to hug them? Are they going to feel offended if you want to hug them, or are they going to feel offended if you don't want to hug them? You know, so you kind of have to like play this like guessing game and feely, touchy feely game with your friends to see where they stand. So I feel like our whole like social interactions are shifting as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm seeing it in my kids. I'm seeing it play out where like, they don't even want to go out in public anymore, because they're so used to being at home, you know. Mm-hmm.
Shut-ins.
They don't feel as comfortable being out in the real world. And I'm like, oh, this is terrible. You know, I don't want that for them.
No, that's not a good condition. That's a lot of fear. Yeah.
They're four and 10. You know.
Oh, wow. Yeah, this is rough on the kids if they're that young. There's no doubt. Mm-hmm. I mean, adults are losing it. So I can imagine kids are actually probably stabilizing a little bit better. But if they have a parent who's losing it, then of course that's not going to help any. That's another thing too. Yeah. What they can do for the children to help them kind of calm and reset their energy field. There's my kitten in the background. That's Merlin. Oh God, he's Merlin. Such a trip.
Oh, yeah, I'll send you a picture.
Yeah, he's a smoke black, medium hair. He's really cute, but he's a terror.
We just finished watching Merlin with my 10-year-old. He loved it. It was such a great show.
This one suits him. He just has he's white and he's black in him, so he's. I mean, it looks like a little wizard, but I digress. But yeah, I think what we were discussing too, you know, the fear of everything, it's just that they're so controlled by fear. And it's funny because, you know, eventually people are going to expire to some degree. Even when we talk about ascension, it's like something's going to get you one way or another. So stop freaking out about a potential Cywar paper tiger virus and just live your life to the fullest. You know, life's too short to waste it like this is my point. And this has been going on for how long now? I mean, my goodness, since February or March.
Yes, in America, yeah, since March, but, you know, more longer in the other parts of the world, you know, and one thing that, you know, as an energy worker that I declared early on, like as soon as they started saying it was coming to America, you know, I just set the intention. I declared out loud to the universe. I said, coronavirus is not allowed in my field. It's not allowed in the field of my children. And it's, you know, it's never allowed to come into my physical body or into my cells or anything. I just like set the intention mm-hmm. right at the beginning.
That's a good thing to do.
And then we drove across the country. I drove from California to Florida and back. So we put like 8,000 miles in our car and drove for 6.5 weeks, stayed in a bunch of hotels, never got sick.
Mm-hmm.
And right. And that was when Florida was all over the news, you know, like was it June or something? Mm-hmm. And we were there and our family was like, oh my God, you're in Florida. Be careful. And I was like, I'm fine. I set the intention. I'm not going to get sick. And I never did. And, you know, that's the part that's a little bit sad for me is that, again, people, you know, were being taught by whoever, I don't want to name names, that you might have it and not know it. And I always said, no, I know I don't have it, you mm-hmm. know, and because I'm so in touch with my body and my field, like, I know I don't have it. And mm-hmm. I just wish that other people would have the confidence and the inner knowing to also be able to say that.
Yeah, just override and override the imprint, basically. Yeah.
Override, exactly. And people are so afraid of like, what if I have it? I don't want to give it to you. What if I'm a carrier and I don't know it? You know, and all this like programming that was coming in from mm-hmm. the CDC. And I was just like, nope, not my reality, not my game.
Exactly, it's a false matrix. I totally get it. Exactly. And I agree. And I think that's one thing that is very important that people do take their power back by redefining the perimeters of information. And mm-hmm. that's something that's not going on right now. So, yeah. And even when I went out to California, I mean, people were saying we shouldn't go out there. Well, I was kind of worried about going out to California during the conference because this is when that stuff was starting to happen. And I thought I was worried about being able to get back to, you know, from California to where I am. And
yeah, in I just February? Figured.
Yeah, I just had that weird vibe about, you know, I was going to get stuck in California, so it didn't happen. That's okay. Your parts of California are very nice, I must say.
Yes.
And your area is very pretty.
It's a beautiful state. I mean, visually, I love this state. I think it's the most beautiful state in the country because I did just drive across the country and I saw a bunch of states. I mean, Colorado is probably the second most beautiful
it's
state.
It's pretty, but we don't have the water. You know, I love the ocean. Right. I really miss the ocean. Right.
I know. Yeah. I'm a real ocean person. I love the ocean. I grew up around the ocean. So beautiful. I love it here, but, you know, there's things about it that can be better for sure.
Right. Well, hopefully that will change. Let's run the energy for that, huh?
Yeah.
Everywhere throughout the United States, you know, you got to be positive at some point. I know people can get really dark and jaded, and I certainly can. I'm not saying I can't because I do. But I do know that the solution to the equation is going to a higher frequency domain where we can set better parameters for a better outcome.
Absolutely.
That's what I look at. And I think I love the work you're doing. I think that's all in the alignment when it comes down to healing arts and how we work and heal the body. So it's good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. As above, so below, as they say, you know, mm-hmm. So basically, you know, the energy you're running inside of your field and inside of your own body or vehicle, you know, you're spreading out into the world as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
Vice versa.
And exchange, I mean, the exchange of energy goes through everyone else. So it's that osmosis effect, which, you know, it's funny because sometimes when people get all staticky, there's this, it just becomes a big microwave. You know, it just becomes all these little molecules in a microwave. It doesn't have any type of higher field of energy connecting in. So it's definitely time to reset. I hope everybody listening has benefited. I think they have. And I really appreciate being on tonight to change the field, you know, just change the energy, change the state of consciousness. For just a moment in the illusion of time, right?
Absolutely, yes. And, you know, we all tend to, like, run our energy horizontally. And what that means is, like, you know, you look outward to a friend or a meal or a device or a show or whatever. Like, you're always looking horizontal for mm-hmm. love, stimulation, approval, whatever it is. And I would encourage people that if they do... You know, if they are meditating or they start meditating or they can do that 1 minute a day, you know, is to really like envision a column of light coming down into the top of your crown from the grand central sun or from source or God, creator, whatever you want to call it. Just imagine a column of light coming down vertically into the top of your head and going all the way down through your body, out your feet, down into the center of the earth. And just imagine you're running your energy vertically instead of horizontally. And when you source your sustenance, your nourishment, your energy, when you're getting it straight from God, straight from the source like that, you will begin to feel so much more fulfilled. And you won't need to run your energy horizontally and look outward for everything because you'll mm-hmm. start to feel it. You'll feel more complete within your heart.
Exactly. That's a great description. I know there's a unified field meditation I do that's very similar to that with the pillar of light. So yeah, very nice and definitely very effective. If people would just take the time to do something like that, they'd realize that would shift their perspective completely.
Yes, absolutely.
It really does. So you can't teach it to them. They have to do it themselves, you know, just like anything else. But hopefully they will. And, you know, we're going to run out of time here in the illusion of in a few minutes. So I want to thank you again. It's been just a pleasure to interview you. It's just a pleasure to talk to you. And thank you so much, Sherry, for being here tonight. I want to make sure we go through all of your Facebook or wherever we need to go to make sure everybody gets in touch with you properly. So if we can just cover that, your email and YouTube and everything else that you want to mention tonight.
Okay, sure. Absolutely. And thank you so much for having me on again, Solaris. It was a great conversation. You're such a good interviewer.
Pleasure. Thank you.
So the best place to start would be my website, which is SherieAriano.com. And, you know, hopefully you'll put the link so they'll get the spelling.
Mm-hmm. And, I put it in the chat.
Okay, great. And then on Facebook, it's Divine Light Quantum Healing. So you just, you know, Facebook.com/Divine Light Quantum Healing. Or Facebook.com/The Ascension Sessions if you're interested in the channel. Or you could go on YouTube to watch all the interviews. Everything is housed on YouTube under The Ascension Sessions. And I'm also on Instagram and Twitter. So you could just look for my name or, you know, Sherie.DivineLight on Instagram or The Ascension Sessions. And everything's linked off my website. So that's the easiest way. To find everything.
Excellent. Well, excellent. I encourage everybody to reach out to you and at least follow your work and see what you're up to and get involved with that session insofar as the meditation. I think that sounds excellent.
Yes. Please stay tuned to find out more information on the 1111 meditation. And if you guys want to book a session, you can book a session right off of my website. And then you can also shop in there for the oils and the bracelets. Everything is available.
Those are great. Excuse me. Like I said, the bracelets are fabulous. You make those yourself, right?
I do. They're all handmade. And they're all, you know, cleared energetically before I ship them out to you. And I use a lot of lava beads or wooden beads, you know, a little bit in the design, and those act as oil diffusers. So you can put the oils on there and it lasts for two days versus 2 hours on your skin. So it kind of helps you extend your healing from the essential oils.
Yeah, it's great. I remember doing that. It's excellent. Well, it's been a great show, and I think, is there anything you want to mention, anybody, right before I mention something else? I just want to make sure, is there anything you want to close with tonight to the listeners? Anything you want to add?
One thing I should also mention is that I also give a free consultation. So if anyone would like, I'm offering a free 20-minute consultation to see if, you know, what type of healing you might want, or if these healings would be a good match for you. I also do free essential oil consultations. So if anyone has been like, yeah, I've been wanting to get into essential oils, but I have no idea where to begin, I'm happy to chat with you for 20 minutes or so about that as well.
Beautiful. Excellent. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening tonight. And thank you so much again, Sherry. It's been a fabulous show. I really appreciate it. And I want to thank everybody. Yeah. And thank you all out there in the chat room. Stay tuned for Shiny Side Out with David Dunger and Mickey coming up next to Sell You On Tonight from Down Under with their fantastic show, Shiny Side Out. I believe they'll be discussing Bigfoot and the Yeti, part 3. So make sure you tune into that. It should be a very interesting show. All righty. So we're out of here with my Merlin in the background. And thank you again, Cherie. It's been fabulous to interview you tonight.
Thank you as well, Solaris. It was so much fun. I loved being on your show. And thank you to all your listeners and your audience for joining us tonight for this great conversation.
Absolutely. And everybody take care out there. Stay in the higher fields of your divinity. And we'll navigate through this, right?
Yes, we'll get through this together.
That's right. We'll just keep flying to the higher orbits. We'll be all
and
right.
Remember, it's all energy. Everything is energy.
That's right.
And intention. So
yeah, don't get stuck in the phantom zone. It's no good. Trust me.
Exactly.
All right, everybody. We're out of here. I'm going to let go of the server. And thank you again, Cherie. It's been wonderful. I'll be talking to you soon.
Okay,
night, everybody.
We'll keep in touch for sure.
Okay. Night, everybody.
Revolution.